Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
On with Mario Lopez.
What's up, everyone? Mario Lopez joining me now on Zoom from the new movie, The People We Hate at the Wedding. Actors Kristen Bell and Ben Platt. Welcome to the show, guys. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Congratulations on the movie. Great title. Makes me laugh already. I want to check it out. What's it about?
Provocative title. I think, you know, anyone who's gone to a wedding before, you know, there are those people at the wedding who just cause chaos. And I think a wedding is such a great place to have the setting of a movie because there are such high stakes. You're watching this beautiful endeavor of people promising themselves to one another, and you're just endlessly comparing yourself to their love and whether or not you have it, will you ever get it? So it's rife for conflict. And I think you watch this incredibly dysfunctional family prove that they are the people that you hate at the wedding.
I love a wedding, or I should say, I love a reception. Those are always a lot of fun. Where did you guys film where did you film it? Did you go over to London?
Yes, we got to live in London for a couple months and have a really beautiful little adventure over there and be the kind of messy, dirty Americans ruining the beautiful British settings and see some theater. And it was a wonderful time being over there.
That's awesome. Absolutely. Allison Janney plays your mother. Love her. She's fantastic. How was she on set?
She's a queen. There's truly no one funnier than she is. And just everything she did on screen and off. First of all, she's absolutely wild off screen. Ben, would you concur?
Of course. You said this beautifully in another interview we did, but that she has so much silliness and play, and like she hasn't lost a single stitch of that after being just such a veteran in the industry for so long and so much fantastic work all over the spectrum. She still approaches every day with like so much just like silliness and unabashedness, and it's like infectious to be around and makes you want to be freer and funnier, and there's a reason she's stuck around.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Super talented. You both have real life siblings. Are any of your relationships like the ones in the movie?
Yeah, my sister, me and Kristen, thankfully, are one of the more functional relationships in the family, even though our characters kind of feed each other's dysfunction. But we do get along and we get to bond a little bit, which I really love getting to do with Kristen because she's wonderful. But I feel similarly with my sister Samantha and my sister Hannah. And, you know, they're like my girlfriends in addition to being my sisters. Like, we can really dish about things and gossip about things and roll our eyes at things together. So certainly felt familiar in terms of the sister brother vibe.
Yeah, I have two older sisters, and there's something about being with them that all of a sudden, when you're together, the perspective shifts from your solo perspective to what the three of you think about the whole room, and you're able to just, you know, gossip with one another in a completely safe space. And I like that siblings often run as a team.
Yeah, it's like a little wolf pack. I too have sisters. We all have sisters, and I just listen to mine. They tell me what to do, and we go from there. Ben, also in the works, something called Theater Camp. Being a former musical theater kid myself, I think I know what it's about, but what is it? Maybe it's something different.
Oh, well, thanks. I'm sure it is relatively what you're thinking. My partner, Noah Galvin, and I, and our two best friends, Molly Gordon and Nick Lieberman, we made this short film in 2017, which is sort of a mockumentary style sketch about overly intense theater teachers at a theater camp, in very much the tradition of Christopher Guest, sort of Waiting for Guffman, Wet Hot American Summer, a mashup. And this is the kind of featurization of that short. It's a mockumentary, full-length mockumentary about a summer camp, a theater summer camp that's struggling to stay afloat financially, and how the staff kind of bands together to keep it open in very misguided ways.
That's so funny. It's ironic.
This is the movie of my dreams.
Yeah.
Ben's making this truly the movie of my dreams.
Ben, I think you're right in the center of our target audience, Kristen.
I will be outside the theater with my camping tent the day it opens.
I want to check this one out, too. It's funny because my wife, who was just here, just quoted Waiting for Guffman like 30 seconds ago. So it's so funny.
Incredible.
Kristen, how old are your daughters now? By the way,
7 and 9, about to be 8 and 9.
Okay, so we got kids around the same wheelhouse. And I read you were locking your kids in their bedrooms to help them sleep through the night. I'm a fan of that. Is that true? And how did it work out?
Well, I think that's a big headline to a much more complex parenting issue.
No, I'm co-signing on that.
Sure. What happened was when they were little, they would come out of their room absolutely all night. No one was getting sleep and they would be keeping each other up. So after about 7 days of warning them, we did the same thing with the light switches. We'd come in there in the middle of the night, all the lights would be on, and we said, we're going to take the bulbs out if you keep doing that. And after a week of warning them, we felt that was responsible enough. We did take the light bulb out.
Love that, too.
The ones right over their bed. And the same, we at one point switched the handle so that the lock was on the outside instead.
See,
but it didn't last very long,
right?
And we did warn them.
You gave them a heads up. They know you're not to be messed with.
Well, and basically it was just when they were like 3 and 4 years old, it would be 11 o'clock and they'd, you know, want a snack or something. And we'd say, no, that this is the rules of the house are you go to bed, you stay in bed. And so they'd try the handle. We'd hear them trying the handle, and then they would just go back to bed because they know we put a roadblock in front of them.
We learned the hard way about locking our door, too. Unfortunately, that's a story for another day. Let me ask your opinion on this. So my daughter, she just turned 12 recently, locks the door constantly, and she will not open it for me. And I threatened. I said, listen, I'm going to take off your lock because you got to answer, and you can't just be locking in. I want to respect her privacy at the same time. She's a girl, and she's got brothers and all this and that. What are your thoughts? What do you think I should do? Take away the lock? Just give her a couple more chances?
Me? Well, I mean, can I ask this, like, personally, why do you need to get in there so bad? Like, is there a house?
she's just locking herself away, and it's like, yo, I want to talk to you. I want to be able to have access. Why do I do that?
Then you can text her.
That's what she said. She said, Dad, why can't you text me? I said, what do you mean, why can't I text you? You're right there.
I don't think Kristen is co-signing
this,
you on this.
This took a wrong turn.
No, I think, well, the same way that I was like, I needed to show my kids I was serious, but I always unlocked the door before I went to bed, just in case they actually needed to get out. I would say, like, personally, if I had a teenager doing that, I'd say, listen, I know I need to respect your privacy.
Right.
You feel safer with the door locked. I'm not feeling as much contact with you as I'd like to. So what if you're allowed to keep the door locked, but then once a week we sit down and, you know, eat pasta together for 30 minutes and just connect. And then you get what you need and she gets what she needs.
That's actually perfect advice. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that.
Or, right. Or is it just FaceTimer?
FaceTimer. Get out of my face. All right, quickly, guys, really quick. What are the plans for the holidays? Are you sticking around in town? Are you taking off?
I'm going to be in New York City with my partner Noah's family. It's my first time spending Thanksgiving with them, so I'm very, very excited.
Nice. Great. I'll be out there, too.
Ooh, in-law Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. I got to make a good impression.
There you go.
Nice. We host Thanksgiving since COVID began with our family pods. So we have like 5 families and we'll be hosting it here and just have a very lazy afternoon.
That sounds like the best day ever. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to check in. Kristen, I'm going to totally do that, by the way. Next time I see you, I'll let you know how that worked out. And you can watch The People We Hate at the Wedding now on Amazon Prime. Thanks so much for hanging out, guys.
Thanks, Mario.
You.
All right, take care.
On with Mario Lopez.
Ladies and gentlemen,
are coming back to Atlanta. Right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast, Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.